Now I have the privilege of introducing our speaker, who we all know and love, Brenda Fisher. She's one of our mentor moms slash table leaders. But I actually learned something about her. She is a vice president and principal broker at Eakin Properties in Falls Church. I did not know that, Brenda. So that's pretty cool. She's a mother of two, a grandmother of eight. But just when her and Brian, her wonderful husband, were acclimating to the empty nest, they started parenting all over again. So, what's your son's name? Grandson's name? Joshua. And he's what, 10?
He's 12.
12. Holy cow. So anyways, but Brenda has been married to Brian, who works here at church for 38 years, and she says she's more in love with him every day. Yay. They look forward to retiring in Myrtle Beach, which is where they met. Brenda says she loves walking with the Lord through life and looking forward to how he's going to use all of the life experiences he's given her to glorify him. So please join me in welcoming Brenda.
Pardon me as I reach. That's all right. I'm fine.
Okay. But I'm going to put notes up here if that's all right. Yeah, I think so. So thank you. This is pretty interesting for me. Thank you. So hello, it's nice to be with you ladies tonight. I want you to know that the enemy has been working double time to keep this message from going out. However, the Lord laid it on my heart many years ago that he's given me all these experiences in my life for a reason, and he's going to start using them for more than one-on-one mentoring. So this is my first venture outside into a larger group, and I appreciate you guys being here for this. So I want to talk to you about the first time around for me as a mom, which all of you are in your first time around as a mom. And so as a mom, that first time around, first off, before I ever had children, I need you to know, I was the perfect mother. I knew exactly what every child needed to learn and how they should learn it. And I would not hesitate to tell you. And God used that. You know, what goes around comes around. That one, he was very quick to bring around for me. Ladies, don't do that to other women. Please don't do that to other women. There is a reason that God gave them that child and not you. They have the personality that that child needs. You have the personality that your child needs. Not your next door neighbor, not your mother, not your mother-in-law. You. So just remember that when people start firing things at you. And I'm going to tell you why. People were firing what should happen in my children's lives at me all the time. And me, wanting to be the perfect mother, was listening to everything. My poor children, just when they would get used to one rule, it would change. And then we'd do it this way, and then we'd do it that way, and we were all over the map. I don't know how they grew up. I don't. So this was me. You know, before I got married, my husband and I talked about having children, and I said, I want to grow up with my children. I don't want to be old and have children and then have this generation gap. I want to grow up with my children. That was not fair to my children. My children should not have had to parent me. They shouldn't have had to teach me, but they taught me a lot. They don't know it. Shh, don't tell them. So, but I did. I was tossed about. Every new thing that came through, I had to do it because that would prove I was a good mother. Everything. The new stuff, you know, I had to nurse my child, because if I didn't nurse my child, I was a horrible mother. Well, she had a sucking instinct so strong that she drew blood every time she nursed. So for the first few months of her life, she was getting sour milk. I couldn't feed her. I was not able to nourish her. But I was listening to everybody. I was a bad mother if I stopped nursing. That wasn't true. She could have died. I had to stop nursing. The second one probably would still be nursing if I didn't take him off. So every child is different. Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Please don't pay attention to those winds that blow. The only thing that you need to pay attention to is how God created your child and the direction He created your child to go in. And that takes study. And a lot of times, it's different from the way we were raised. And it's hard to understand what it is. I have differences. My kids learn differently than I teach. But it's my responsibility as a mom to ask God, what do you want me to do with this child? What direction does this child need to go in? God is my employer. He's my daddy. He's my everything. But when it comes to raising these children, they're His kids. So we need to go to Him and say, what direction do you want me to steer them? And then we have to learn how to do that in a style that those kids can understand. So one of my favorite daily devotionals, it's a real quick one. If you guys have, I have it on my iPhone, but if you have an app store, look for the YouVersion Bible Gateway, I think it is. They have a daily devotional called Parenting by Design. Really quick devotionals. I mean, you can really get in and get out. I highly recommend them because they are, even though they're quick, they're packed with a nice punch that kind of helps you and launches you on your day. So please try and get that. And we couldn't find a daily devotional book, but Christy was able to find a Parenting by Design book that actually talks about, you know, the different things that the devos would do. It's not a devotional, but I don't think that it would hurt to read it. I think it would really be helpful if you wanted to read that. I think it's going to be given away later. So one of the things in the Parenting by Design daily devotional that I had that went along with this verse was... It was about sacrifice, and it says, we marvel at Abraham's obedience when the cost was so high, but many of us are willing to sacrifice our children too, not on an altar, but to the expectations of this world. The sacrifice requires no knife, but it's executed in subtle day-to-day compromises. Overcrowded schedules that squeeze out time for relationships, messages communicating significance in a child's success, pressuring kids to perform because we see them as reflections of ourselves. Please, they are not a reflection of you. You give them the tools, they get to choose whether to use them or not. Investing our time and money chasing after power, beauty, and fame, we're bombarded with false messages defining our worth and the worth of our children by worldly standards. Like Abraham, God is calling us to bring this sacrifice to a halt. But we must look past the temporal and see with eternal eyes. We must choose to worship the Creator instead of the creation. So as a result of all this tumultuous life that I so readily blessed my children with, I now have 8 grandchildren. 3 of those grandchildren are living with only one parent, and all 3 of them have a different mother. One of those 3 is being raised by my husband and I. This is my family. my wonderful husband in the middle, you know, he gets the biggest one because he is my rock next to Jesus. Over here, this is my daughter and my son-in-law, Michael. Five of these children belong to her. And over here is my son and his daughter. And this is his son, the one that we're raising. I do not have a photo of the eighth grandchild because of the situation. I'm not permitted to see or have any contact. None of us are permitted to have any contact with that child. So we pray for her. And then up there, that's my two dogs. They keep me sane. They love me no matter what. So when the teen years come along and the kids say, "I hate you," I can always go to my dog because I know my dog's going to love me anyway. Let's see here. So my oldest grandchild from my daughter was conceived out of wedlock. And my daughter came to me, and she told me, tearful-eyed, what had happened. And at that, I just told her. I said, "Honey, every single child is a gift from God, regardless of how it is conceived. Whether he gave it to you or whether he's bringing this child into life on earth to give to someone else. Every child is a gift from God." And so this just speaks volumes to me, and I do live by it. They're all God's gifts. And no matter how much they get on our nerves or make us angry, they are a gift from God, and it's his fault. He made them that way. When Crystal conceived and we saw ourselves going into this situation where we were going to have to help her to get on her feet, she at that time did not want a relationship with Michael, but God had other plans and he used us for that. But we started praying. I realized right then I needed to pray for my grandchildren. I didn't know how many grandchildren I was going to have. But they were coming way too early, and they were coming under bad circumstances. And I wanted my grandchildren to have every opportunity to meet Jesus face to face. The only way that that was going to happen was to start praying. So I started praying immediately that all of my grandchildren would start loving the Lord when they were in the womb. They would come out of the womb loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. They would be raised by godly parents, and if they didn't already have godly parents, they would create godly parents. So I had all these grandiose prayers for my grandchildren. So for this child, we prayed, and the Lord has granted us what we asked. Be careful what you pray for. Joshua came along, and we prayed. His parents, they were both drug addicts and alcoholics. And we knew that they could not raise this child. We knew it. So we were praying that God would send godly parents to them. And pretty soon God was telling us that we were the parents that he wanted them to raise him. And I have to be honest, ladies, I looked up and I shook my fist. I said, "Are you kidding me? Do you see what I did with the first two you gave me? I totally messed up. I'm a horrible mother. Why would you give me another child? I don't want that responsibility." And it was almost like he put his finger right on my lips and he said, "I don't want you to raise this one. I want you to provide a safe environment for this one so I can raise him." What a concept. God's going to raise this child. All I have to do is provide a home and provide food, and he's going to direct everything else? That's amazing. How do you do that? Well, you get down on your knees and you pray. So I've been given these experiences for a reason. like this, it says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. My job is to speak scriptures to my to Joshua. And of course, Joshua's daddy is still living with us. Joshua's now 12 years old. Guess what his daddy is hearing? Daddy's hearing scripture from Joshua. Daddy's hearing, hey, daddy, won't you go to church with us this week? Hey, daddy, you know what I learned at church? Daddy, can you help me with my Bible homework? He goes to school here. Daddy, can you come and watch the assembly at church, at school today? God is so faithful in praying for Joshua. I give the scripture to Joshua, and Joshua's given it to his dad. He asks his dad to drill him for his memory verses. Whoa! Not only that, but if in order to get the special rewards from Mr. Danish, you have to tell what that verse means, and you have to tell how to apply it in your life. Daddy has to drill him. It's amazing. God knows what he's doing. God allows trials so he can build character into our lives. Warren Wiersbe gives a great analogy. God can grow a mushroom overnight, but it takes many years and many storms to build a mighty oak. Just a side note, did you guys know that a shoot of bamboo breaks through the surface of the earth, that it's been, by the time it breaks through the surface of the earth, it has been developing a root system for 5 years. 5 years. That's why you can't get rid of bamboo. So I look at it and I say, how much time do I spend developing my root system so that when somebody comes along with a tiller, they don't get my roots. They only get the surface. They can only hurt the outside, but they can't get the heart. We need to do that. So the Parenting by Design devotional for day 60, Bible study helps you emulate God and lets his wisdom shine through you. So that Devo was all about God building character through our trials. Well, God offered me grace after I shook my fist at him. He didn't condemn me. He listened, like a good parent does. Genesis 3, 9 through 10 says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' he answered. 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid.' Calling your kids out of hiding by asking open-ended questions and listening to their answers with understanding rather than meeting them with judgment and shame is what you need to do. God did that with Adam and Eve. If you need to give consequences for their disobedience, choose to give those consequences with empathy. And then meet your kids with empathy to help them come out of hiding and into relationship. So there are those times when I have to take electronics away from Joshua for some kind of disobedience. Well, it hurts me to do that. I say, you know, Josh, I'm really sorry. I know it's going to be upsetting to you. How about we play a game instead? So he still gets the consequence. He can't play with his friends. But I'm standing there with him. I'm coming alongside him. You know, God, with Adam and Eve, he called them out of hiding. The consequence was that they were going to have to labor. And then he made them some clothes to protect them. That's the kind of parenting that God wants from me. I never looked at it that way before. I love this verse. God will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. I was very scared about raising another child and whether I was going to say the right things or do the right things. And God still has to remind me, Brenda, he's still my kid. He's still mine. Thanks for giving him a house. Thanks for being there. But don't take over. I got this, which is great. He promised to take full responsibility. I'm only called to provide the safe place for him while God works in his heart. God will provide all the tools necessary to fulfill that as long as I don't venture out and try to do it on my own. And being a control freak, that is really hard. It was really hard to do, but over the years, He has totally lessened my desire to be in control, and I just really appreciate him for that. It's a big difference, ladies. Definitely worth praying for, because it's so much more fun on this side of the control issue. It really is. Seek the Lord's vision and not your own. Only the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. So each and every day, a prayer that, you know, Lord, empty me out and fill me with what you want people to see today. It's just like, you know, getting ready for this tonight. My prayer has been, Lord, even if there's only one lady there that needs to hear something, let me be an empty vessel that you use to speak to that woman. So if a bunch of you go home saying, I don't know why I even showed up tonight, that's okay. Because there's going to be at least one that is going to be really happy they came. I don't know who it'll be, but maybe it'll be me. I don't know. You know, so a lot of times you learn more by teaching than you do by sitting and learning. So who knows? So another daily devotional was, where are you placing your trust? Is it in your ability to control your kids or force them to become the people you want them to be? Jeremiah 17:5 notes, cursed is the one who trusts in man. Wow, I never read that before. Who trusts in man? At least I didn't read it in this context. Because he knew that depending on human effort would lead to disappointment. Well, that's true. Instead, he tells us to recognize that God is trustworthy and to give him the responsibility for our lives and our children. Wow. There's another one. Let go. Let go and let the master take over raising our children. Did I go too far? I love this one. So, this would definitely be my husband and Joshua. When IBC had some stuff going on back here and we had backhoes and front loaders and everything, I can remember Joshua wanting to get to school early so he could go ride on them. It was fun. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. God's chosen us for this as well. We have such an influence in our children's lives, and we need to use it wisely, not lord it over them, but use it in a way that points them to Christ. I do not point Joshua to me. I don't tell Joshua, I will always be here. At my age, I may not always be there for him. He's a pretty young kid, and I'm a pretty old woman to be raising a young kid. You don't know whether you're always going to be there, but you do know that God is always going to be there. So when they run to you for help, the best thing to do is turn right around and point them to the Lord. Come on, let's go to the Lord together with this. Let's go into the king and talk to him and tell him what we need, and he'll take care of it. That way, they're already used to it. When something happens to you, when you get sick, and you can't do your daily things. They're okay. They don't feel lost. They still feel safe because they're still in God's arms. So God tenderly closed my mouth to say yes, and eventually turned my heart in the same direction. Being seen and known, although she did not call out to him, Jesus saw the widow who had lost her son. How wonderful to be seen by God. Not only did he see her, but this verse says his heart went out to her. He connected with her suffering. What an encouragement for us. Jesus sees us too, but not in a casual or indifferent way. He feels our pain and he knows our struggles. You can take comfort in knowing that as you walk the sometimes difficult and painful path of parenthood, his heart goes out to you as well. Remember that you're not alone. He's walking alongside you this very day. You are known and loved by God. Samuel says, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. I, like Samuel, have dedicated Joshua to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is in dedication to the Lord." Parenting is a journey with an uncertain destination. We can't count on a good result just because we're faithful. There's no formula that will assure that your children will follow Jesus. You have to place your trust in God. Surrender your children to him. Follow God, his will, the best you can. And leave the results to him. They're not yours. Every child that we are raising, that salvation answer is between them and the Lord. We can't save them, and we can't send them to hell. Only they can choose. Remember that. You can only do what you can do. And if you're following the Lord, you're doing the best that you can do. So along the way, I've learned this second time, never start your day without prayer for God's wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's in Proverbs 2:6. Proverbs has become like one of my favorite books because it really is loaded with instruction. Acts 20:28 says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," which would be our children. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." A shepherd. You're not the boss. You're just a shepherd. Okay? When we forget to give God the best of our day, we may begin to see issues like anger, bitterness, resentment, and moral dilemmas arise. We're not doing our kids any favors when we are spiritually exhausted. When your relationship with God is your first priority, you're in a better position to serve others and especially your family. Satan does not want you to have time with God because he knows if you have time with God, then he's not going to have as much time with your kids. You need to stay on your knees in prayer. Never end a day without prayer for God's wisdom. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him." Wisdom is one of the greatest things that God wants to give us. Look at Solomon. He had everything. He had anything you could imagine. But when he prayed for wisdom, things started happening big time. God wants us to have his wisdom. But he's not going to just impute it to us. He's not going to just force feed us. We have to ask for it, and we have to be willing to accept the wisdom that he gives us. Never spend a day without prayers for God's wisdom. I directed my mind to know, to investigate, and to seek wisdom. That's from Ecclesiastes 7:25. John Piper said in his book, A Hunger for God, if we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we've nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for the great. So it's time to clean out all the tchotchke things in your life, in your soul, in your spirit, and let God fill it with greatness. You want to be a beacon of God's light. You don't need to go out and show what you know. I mean, the reason you didn't know that I'm the vice president and principal broker of Aiken Properties is because it's not important what I do outside my home. I do that as service to the Lord. I have a family of unbelievers that I've been witnessing to, Alice knows, for the last 28 years. But my true calling is right there in my home. That's what I want to be known for. What did I do in my home, and how did I show God's light to the world around me? Stop listening to how everyone else would deal with your child. God didn't trust them with this child. Train up a child in the way he should go. I can't tell you how many years I thought that meant just whipping them with the Bible, just thumping them with the Bible. That's not true. God didn't create all of us to do the same things. He didn't create all of us to react the same way. If he did, this would be a very boring, boring life. All of us are needed. We need the artsy-fartsy people that just kind of are scattered. We need them. We need the brainiacs that have everything in order. We need the ones in between. We need the servants. We need the limelighters. We need them all. So study your children. Ask God, what is the purpose that you have for my child? And how do you want me to grow that in them? God has all the tools. He's ready to give them to you so you can give them to your children. Ask him. Study your children. Ask your teachers, what do you see about my child? Tell me some things. Ask the Sunday school teachers, what do they see? The interaction in the classroom. Learn what God wants your child to do and help your child to find the tools necessary to achieve that goal in the future. Ancient Middle Eastern culture placed great value on a woman who could bear a child, especially a son. Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah, were sisters and rivals who used childbearing, by giving birth themselves or through their maidservants, to bolster their sense of self-worth. Their competition quickly degenerated and produced sinful attitudes and behavior as they focused on validating themselves by the worldly standard. Like them, we can define our worth and the worth of our children by achievements and the ability to possess what others value. When we measure our significance in these ways, we become slaves to the thoughts and opinions of the world rather than the thoughts and opinions of God. Remember, where your true citizenship lies, rest in your identity in Christ instead of chasing after worldly validation. It's okay if the world thinks you're a nobody. It's okay if they think you're goofy. It's okay if they think bad thoughts about you. If you're doing what God wants you to do and you're in his hands, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We are just a launch pad for our children. God puts them on the launch pad. God builds the rocket piece by piece, and he knows exactly when it's ready to launch. Don't try to take over, because you really haven't a clue. Your child was not put here to fulfill your unrealized dreams. Take time to mourn the loss of them so that you don't continually try to project them onto this child that God has entrusted to you. Kids are attracted to great stories and they want to be a part of something dynamic that stirs their blood. We do our kids a big favor when we make being a follower of Jesus something that is exciting and rewarding rather than a tedious effort to follow a bunch of rules. Recognize God's movement in your life and tell your kids about it. We have every day God has moved in our lives and he's done something really special in our lives. The first thing that we need to do is build a habit in our lives of looking for that and making note of it. Even the little stuff, like I didn't get to change clothes after work today. I was really frustrated that I didn't get to change clothes after work today until I came in here and found out that we had fans. And I said, oh, if I'd have changed clothes, I would have been in long pants. That was a God thing. So you share those things with your children and let them see that God is in those little things too. He wants to be in every part of our life. So one of the things that I like to do with Joshua, some of you have heard of it and some of you haven't, I call it sneaky blessings, but we like to go out in public and we like to get gift cards and we like to find sneaky ways to get these gift cards into someone's hands without them knowing who they're from. Most of the time we'll go to an eatery or a coffee house or something like that. We buy a bunch of gift cards. We take them up to the manager and we say, would you please give these to your cashiers and ask them to just randomly pick somebody out of the crowd and pay for their whatever with the gift card. If there's money left over, just give them the gift card and they can come back and have something later. So the first time that we did it, Josh wasn't real sure how it was going to happen. And the recipients of the gift cards were not grateful at all. But the staff that was giving the gift cards out thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened. They said, this is really cool. I want to be a part of this. Blessing others. We knew it was a blessing to those people that got it. You know, and someday they'll figure it out too. But another time that we went, the people were like, I got to find out who did it. And they started coming around asking everybody, did you do this? Did you do this? And Josh says, what are we going to do if they ask us? Because I don't want to lie. And I said, we're leaving. We're leaving. We're getting out of here. So, you know, little things like that, fun little things like that help our children learn about giving and not always receiving. Too often we attempt to ensure survival by rescuing, nagging, or micromanaging, and we end up with children that are unprepared to face the world around without us. So, what did I learn the second time around? My job is to provide a safe environment for the child God's entrusted to me, and to allow God to use me as a vessel for Him to parent the child through me. Who better to raise that child than the one who created him? For his special purpose, not mine. Remember, your kids are fearfully and wonderfully made. While other gifts may draw more public adoration, there's no gift more significant or important than the ones especially chosen for you and your child by God. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Are you hurting because you blame yourself for your child's sin? Confess your part to God and your children and ask for forgiveness. But remember, no matter what mistakes you make as a parent, each individual is called to personal accountability. The spiritual example set by parents, good or bad, does not exempt a child from needing their own personal relationship with Christ or being accountable for their choices. God gave you children and you're expected to raise them for His glory. You are a steward of God's children, and as a steward, you must answer to your master for your efforts. Fortunately, you don't have to account to other masters, other stewards, or to those under your care. ultimately, only God has the authority to judge your work. Luke 12:42, the Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time?" We all make mistakes in parenting at times. We'll yell at our kids, lecture or nag them, rescue them from their mistakes, punish them harshly. This doesn't surprise God. He knows, and he's willing to forgive it all. You can surrender your guilt and your shame to him. He will take your selfishness and neglect too if you turn to him and confess. Whew, that's a great relief. God's in charge, and he's willing to work alongside you to raise your kids. When you do something wrong, he will help you model humility as you confess your sin to them, to your kids. Yes. Confess your sin to them and ask for their forgiveness. Sometimes God even uses our mistakes as opportunities to connect with our children in a more personal way. Rely on the perfect parent, and he will purify all your mistakes. We're all human, and therefore, we all make mistakes. No matter how hard we try to be perfect, this side of heaven, honey, there's not going to be any perfection in us. A couple of closing notes. There's no greater calling from God than parenting. Vice president is not a greater calling. Being a wife isn't a greater calling, although it's up there. But parenting is a great calling from God. When you feel inadequate for the task, realize that you're putting your trust in the wrong person. You're putting it in yourself. Strive to be an excellent parent, but recognize that God is not dependent on your knowledge or expertise to bring about his results. Don't forget that you've been given stewardship over your children rather than ownership. They belong to God, but he's entrusted you with their care and growth while they are under your care. How might this perspective affect the way that you parent? Thank you, ladies.